We've been blessed with some incredible ministry over the last couple of days, haven't we? Just amazing. Come on, give the Lord Jesus a clap offering. You know, when you plan a conference, there's so many things you can plan, so many things you've got control over, but there are some things you don't have control over. One of those is the presence of God. And we pray, yes, and we believe for all of that, but it's just been so good to worship together, to really sense God's presence and to hear the Word of God proclaimed by incredible speakers. And I know that God is going to speak to us this morning. So would you give a big welcome as Pastor comes to minister the Word this morning.
Good morning. So good to be with you again, and praise God for what He's doing. Amen. I want to say, if you weren't here last night, just one of the most incredible messages just so powerful. Everybody needs to hear that message from last night. If you weren't here, I think it's going to be online in a few days, and I'm hoping to make that link available. We have an app for our covering churches, and it's like a resource app. I want to make sure everybody listens to that. It's just, if you want to understand the origins of sin and how God allowed free will in our lives and how He moves us into becoming men of God, I love that. Becoming a son or a devil. Wow. Pastor Dr. Allen, wonderful. So wonderful to meet you, your dear wife, Helen. And of course, Pastors Lena, Pastor Joe, what a joy it's been here. Just absolute, genuine, real Christians. Just the real thing. And all the pastors, there's so much I want to say. Of course, I am a little bit, you know, in one-sided, just speaking on one subject. I think it's because of the encounter I had in the room with the Lord, because I just can't deny it. It's kind of like going to a burning bush experience and have 50 sessions on various aspects of the Holy Spirit. And I have so much I want to say, but I know that pastors are leaving today. And I want to talk today about the wine of the Spirit. But because of the, I just want to have one or two scriptures out of context of this, just to mention that, the Bible says that in these last days, it will be like rain. It is just like that. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain." Ask Him. Why must you ask for God? Why must you ask for rain when it's raining? And I believe it's because God encounters hungry people. And so wherever we ask, rain will fall. Ask for the rain and ask for this end time move. God right now is looking for people and churches that will just say, "God, we want to be that place. Let us be a place of outpouring." Amen. Are there any hungry people in this place? I know that you're there. You all are there. It's beautiful. This is just amazing to me. But it's very clear here in the time of the latter rain. For Israel, it's March, April, May. What was the purpose of the latter rain? The purpose of the latter rain was to mature the harvest to get ready for reaping. So I believe that we are entering the end times. I believe it with all of my heart that the Lord is preparing the church for His coming. And that the latter rain is for the maturing of that harvest. And that is why the raiders came in 2 Kings chapter 13. Why did the raiders come in the spring of the year? March, April. Why did they come in the spring of the year? Is they came to steal the harvest. Why is this next generation almost like never before in the history of the world have we had such a sexualized generation through Instagram and Facebook? Why is Satan so after this next generation? I believe because the harvest is about to be reaped. Hallelujah. And we're going to see, because the Bible says that In the last days, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Even this generation shall prophesy. Even our young people are going to run with the power of God because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so it's so important we understand your children and our young people are going to run with the fire of God. That was the time to say amen. Amen. How many of you have children? Let me see your hands. How many of you have teenagers? Okay. May the Lord help us all. And we need him to encounter our kids. They need a touch from the Lord. So this is reality right here. Ask for the rain. He says, I'll give them showers of rain and grass in the field for everyone. That's what you just prayed. And I love that prayer because this is what it says. Pastors, I want to just write this down because I'm not going to speak on this today. But it says in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. So I don't know if they're able to throw that scripture up very quickly or how it works, but Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. In the New King James, it says this. Until the Spirit is poured, it's the rain of His Spirit. When the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, remember, we're not going to the graves, we're looking for Him. And it says this, three levels. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field becomes a forest. There's progression. You don't encounter him and become a forest. We encounter him and he moves us in a direction where our lives that were like a wilderness, which is unfruitful and barren and powerless and without the fruits of the Spirit, suddenly moves and greenery appears. So once I was a curser, but now I stop cursing. God changes our lives through the power of the Spirit. Like when rain falls on in a wilderness and suddenly all these flowers appear. So it is with the Holy Spirit. When we encounter him, I'm on a journey and we never arrive until he comes. There is always more with him. I can never say, "Whoa, you know, I just think I got it all." We can never have all of him. It will always be a progression from wilderness to fruitful field to a forest. There's always going to be more, more surrender, more of him. More revelation of him. God will always, have you found that the more you walk with the Lord, the more he finds in your heart that he asks you for. You say, Lord, where did you find all this stuff? You get over one mountain and he reveals another one. And God continually pulls you into deeper levels of surrender. So that we empty ourselves so that we can be filled with him. So I say, Lord, from a wilderness, Lord, to a fruitful field. To a forest in God. You know, a forest is completely different to a fruitful field. In the forest, there's all sorts of creatures and animals and birds and trees and plants, big and tall and different colors. And there's so much life. And he even calls himself the Spirit of Life. He says, I am the Spirit of Life. Life in God, life in the Spirit, life and freedom in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what God is busy doing right now. He's busy reigning on the earth and he's preparing a people. Every generation, I come from a lineage of Smith Wigglesworth. The town that he is in right now is completely lost. Completely. Because every generation has to have an encounter. Doesn't matter about us as pastors. The next generation need an encounter. Every generation that neglected the Spirit, you will find the next generation was missing in the churches. We have to press into him. We have to get to know him. We have no choice, ladies and gentlemen, except to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 today. And I want to just talk to you about just the wine of the Spirit. And would you do me a favor and just turn to the person next to you? Just have a look. Just turn to them and say to them, you look like you need a drink. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Come on, somebody smile. Just say to them, just hit them next to you. Say, are you ready to get a little drunk this morning? All right. The Bible says, very clear, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is not a sermon on the doctrine of whether we drink or not. I'm not even touching anything there. I'm talking about Him. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. This is not even a suggestion. It's a commandment. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I want to talk to you about the influence of the Spirit in our lives. What's the link between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit? Well, here's the link. Both wine and the Spirit are external entities that, when internalized, influence behavior. Both wine and the Spirit, when internalized, will change your behavior. So how do we find ourselves being filled more with Him, and how does He influence us? There are things that we can do that can hinder the Spirit's influence, and there's things that we can do that can increase sensitivity to the Spirit's leading. So what are some of the things we can do to maximize the influence of the Spirit in our lives? Number one is, how much control of the Spirit are we willing to give? How much control are you willing to give the Holy Spirit in your life? That determines how much influence He will have in us. An intoxicated man gives over control of his legs, of his speech, and of his will to the wine. Now, in South Africa, we have one of the highest alcohol rates in the world, and I think driven by poverty and various issues, and also one of the highest road accidents deaths in the world. And half of those deaths are from intoxicated people walking on the streets, and a large majority of the rest are from intoxicated people driving. And so we see this a lot in our townships. And one of the things is, when you drink a lot, is you give control of your legs to the wine. You will be looking this way, but you'll be going that way. You don't have a choice. The direction of your life is given over to a Spirit. And it's the same when you get filled with the Spirit of God, that God begins to take over the direction of your life. He begins to influence where you're going to go and how you're going to go. It's the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Because when you internalize both these spirits, they will affect your direction. Give your life to God. He'll take you places you never thought you could go. Take you around the world. He will change your direction. He will change what you study. He might even change who you're going to marry. Get intoxicated with Him. Be filled with the Spirit, and He changes the direction of your life. He changes your speech. When you're filled with Him and in an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, He changes how we speak about others, and how we stop cursing, we stop swearing. Everything changes. When you give yourself over to intoxication, even your will is given to the wine. You want to go in one place and you land up in another. And you do things you never thought you would possibly do. It was like last night. We went to a wonderful restaurant, right? And then we had these guys from Scotland are here to watch the rugby. And they had all, they can see they've had a night of drinking. And in their kilts, they got up and sang a wonderful song in the middle of the restaurant together. And we all joined in and had a lot of fun. And I'm sure when they see the videos this morning, they'll be like, oh, what did we do? It's the power of intoxication. In the same way, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He influences our paths, our minds, our choices, our will, our emotions, our relationships. The key is, are we willing to give our control to the Holy Spirit? It's such a difficult thing for us to do, especially in the Western mindset, and as adults, to give Him control. When you get drunk, you have your mouth loses control. And by the way, you can't get drunk sitting in a bath full of beer. A bath full of beer. You have to drink it. You can be in an anointed service and still not get drunk in the Spirit. You have to drink it. You have to open your spirit to it. You have to let control go. And over this year, we've had some of these amazing meetings, and we had, you know, one or two people that were a little over the top. So I thought I would address it. So I addressed it from the pulpit, and I said, guys, listen, just for the sake of others, let's just, you know, keep things together. And everything stopped. For a couple of weeks, everything stopped. The move of God stopped, and I went to the Lord. And I went back to church and I said, guys, I want to repent. I want to just say, I'm so sorry. I feel that I stopped the move of God. And I read something that Smith Wigglesworth wrote. And he said this. He says, allow for a little excess when it comes to the move of the Spirit. Because when you stop some things, you might stop the whole thing. But sometimes we don't want to let go of control because we're worried about what people are going to think about us. We're worried about what people are going to say about us. And we're so dignified and together. But we need to let go of control and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. Sometimes it's good just to shout unto the Lord. Sometimes it's good just to lift your hands to the Lord and respond to the move of the Spirit. And that's what happens when you get filled with Him, is that He takes over if we're willing to let go of control. We need to rely on Him, just like a drunk man would rely on Uber or a good friend to drive him home. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit for everything in our lives. Just lean on Him for everything that you need. Just trust Him, whatever it might be, and whether it's finances or decisions or with people and with leadership issues, you just say, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting You that You are working through this situation. We turn to Him for our every need. He's everything to us. He's the one that is called helper, comforter. In the most lonely times of your life, He will be your best friend. He empowers us throughout every day, and He wants to influence every thought and every decision. Isn't that so wonderful? And the Bible says if you just get intoxicated with Him, He's going to be able to influence you and lead you and guide you. Jesus had confidence in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I just loved that, and I shared it with you the other day. I said, Jesus comes to the disciples and He says, listen, guys, there's many things I need to share with you, but I can't share them right now. But when He comes, He will tell you. He had such confidence that the unseen Spirit would be able to influence the apostles to the same extent He could do it physically. How is that for confidence in the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, listen, I'm leaving, but there's one that's coming, the unseen one. And there's many things that I want to tell you, but he will tell you. He will be able to influence you in such a way that he will lead you in the direction you need to go. And I just love that. That we can, just like you can't see alcohol working in someone's body and you can't see the Holy Spirit working inside of you, but it's going to influence you. It's going to have an effect upon you. All right. Praise the Lord, everyone. Now, as rain influences the earth, he influences our lives. Now, we have in the Cape, we have a desert area. In the rainy season, it transforms. In 3 weeks, it completely transforms into a beautiful flower world. What do you call it? What do they call it? What's the name of that area? Yeah, in the Karoo. But it just transforms. It's influence. Wind, you can't see wind. You only see the influence of the wind. No one has ever seen wind. If I go, you can't see it. Just like you can't see the Spirit. But you can see the influence of the wind. If I go, did I blow? I didn't blow. If I blow, you'll see the influence. You can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. He comes like fire. You can't see the fire, but you see the effects of the fire. If there's been a fire outside, you walk past the next day and say, "Ooh, fire was here." Am I right? It's with water. Like if I take this water, can I just throw it on you all right now? But if I take this water and I drop it on something, right, here we go. If I just drop it on my shirt, well, this shirt's not going to soak it up now. But I would put that away and you would have a look and you'd say, oh, water was on there. The influence. All of his manifestations have an influence. Yaku, just stand up. I'm going to touch him with my phone. Can you tell if there was any influence there? No, because he doesn't come as a phone. He comes as wind and as rain and as fire and as oil. Put oil on you, you'll see it on your shirt. He comes as manifestations that leave a mark, that leave an influence. That's why he comes. He's come to influence. He comes as the wine, it's going to change you. You get filled with him, people will look at you and say, oh, you've been in an anointed service, haven't you? I see the presence of God upon your life. That's an influence of the Holy Ghost. It's the moving of the Spirit. You cannot be around him and stay the same. He changes you. He influences you. He fills you. Everything changes in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The wind blows. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. I just remember as a young man, I was sitting at the beach. I'm looking over the ocean and I can see the way out there, the water is choppy. We call it the white horses. You see the white choppiness of the water. Over the next hour, it got closer and closer and closer and closer. I would see the water was changing. And as it hit the beach, suddenly you felt the wind. There was an influence of the wind that I could see. In the same way, God wants to rain upon us and we're going to see a manifestation. There's nothing wrong with manifestations. There's nothing wrong with God influencing. There's nothing wrong with being drunk in the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with oil falling on you and having an influence. In fact, we should welcome it and desire it, even if there's a little excesses. Because we want the real. Amen, somebody. We want the real. But there might be excesses, but we want the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We had a woman a few months ago, after one of the services. Everyone is leaving. She comes up to me and she says, Pastor, she says, would you pray for me? I'm sick. The doctors are going to operate on me because they want to open me and see what's wrong with me. So I said to her, let's pray. And I said, raise your hands. She raised her hands and I went in the name of Jesus and she starts hitting me. She starts doing this, and in an African language, she says, "Ufunani." So she's hitting me on my chest, "Ufunani." Well, I had no idea what she was saying. I didn't know what "Ufunani" means. All I was thinking was, "Hey, you asked me to pray for you." "Ufunani." Then I discerned the spirit of death. I said, "You spirit of death, come out in the name of Jesus." She falls to the ground, coughs violently 3 times, gets up and goes home. So the next day, next week, next Sunday, she comes to me and she says, "I want to tell you, I canceled the operation." She says, "God completely healed me." She had woman issues that started, everything started normal on Sunday afternoon. And I said, "Praise Jesus, praise God." And that was the end of the story. Well, a little while back, I was sharing this testimony on a Wednesday night. And I said, "Church, I was just thinking about this lady. And I'll tell you what Ufunani means now in a moment." And so I was sharing this story. And this woman starts waving her hands on the second row. She says, "That was me, that was me." And she's sitting there with her husband and her kids. I said, "Come on, come and tell us about it." Well, then we got the full story. She said, "The doctor said I'm dying. And they don't know what's wrong with me. They're going to operate to open up." And she says, "God completely healed her of all her infirmities, delivered her from that thing, that spirit of death." So this is what one of the pastors told me. They said, "Do you know what Ufunani means? It means, what do you want with me?" Do you remember when Jesus went to Legion and came to Jesus and said, "What do you want with me?" Now, you are not Jesus. I am not Jesus. But the spirit of Jesus is on the inside of you. That's how powerful the Spirit of God is. He looks at you and says, "The Spirit of Jesus, Ufunani, what do you want?" You see, the devil doesn't want us having influence with his region, but we have come to mess with the devil. We have come to have influence. We have come to shake kingdoms. We have come to bring deliverance. We have come to change people's lives. Hallelujah. Of the Spirit. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to say it louder. Hallelujah. There's power in God. There's power in the Lord. Glory to God. We had a woman a few weeks ago. She comes, there's some scan. I don't know what it's called. There's some scan for cancer. You have a cancer scan and apparently it lights up like a light bulb. White lights. She says, "My scan lit up everywhere." She comes, she gets prayed for. She goes back for her scan. The doctor says, "No lights. Completely healed." Hallelujah. There's power in God. Amen. Our God is alive. Jesus is alive. Right now, the Spirit of God is breathing upon the face of the earth. And he says, "Whoever, if in the season of rain, ask for rain." Come on, just raise your hands, everybody. Pastors, church members, wherever you're going today, oh Lord Jesus, we are so hungry for you. Just say, "Holy Spirit, I am thirsty for you. I long for you. Breathe upon me. Touch me, Lord. Oh, empower me, Lord." Hallelujah. This thing is real, church. What I'm sharing with you is so real. He is so real. He's so available. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. He said, "Why does he come as rivers and as water and as rain and as oil and as dew and as a cloud?" Because not one symbol could possibly capture him. Sorry, I'm just off my message now, but I just have to. I am going around the world to impart this message. Revival is now and revival is here. The rain is falling. Will you run with it? Will you run with it? That's what God is asking. Will you run with it? Will you build that relationship with him? I just love this, that the fire of God is just so amazing, that Nebuchadnezzar, man, what a story. What a story. 3 men go into this furnace. What a story. Do you know that God commanded Israel to never make an image of him? I don't know where the scripture is right now. But God says, do not make an image of me. Not one image could capture him. And yet Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile wicked king, looks into this furnace and said, the Son of God is in there. How would he even possibly know if there was never an image of God made? How could he know that there's one there that looks like the Son of God in a furnace, the Bible says, is 7 times hotter? I don't know how you possibly make a hot fire hotter. But it says it was 7 times hot. It was so hot that when those soldiers opened the door, their lungs were perforated. So you were talking about Pompeii. I was there. In Pompeii, there's an image of a woman holding her baby, right? And the mouth is open. It was so hot that when they breathed, it perforated their lungs and they died instantly. That's what happened to these soldiers. They opened that flame. They went, get in, dead. These men are walking around. The king stands up and says, there's a fourth man in the fire. He said, how is it possible that he even recognized it was God? Because I tell you, there is one whose face shines brighter than the sun. And when he looked into the furnace, he saw a brightness that was brighter than the fire that was 7 times hotter. He says, that is God. That is the fire that we have. That is the anointing we have. That's the fire from the burning bush and the fire of Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. And it's sitting upon you. No wonder demons recognize it. They bow at the name of Jesus. I want to be filled with him. I want to be anointed with him. I want to be intoxicated with him. Amen. To get drunk, you have to go to the bar. In other words, you have to be in a place where alcohol is flowing. That's why atmosphere is important. That's why worship is important. That's why having an atmosphere of soaking in his presence is important. That's why waiting, you don't get drunk on one drink. You have to wait in the presence of the Lord and soak in the presence of the Lord and dwell in the presence of the Lord. And suddenly it gets higher and higher and higher until you get intoxicated with him. You can't get drunk on one drink. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Worship him. Worship Jesus. Open your heart to his influence. I love that the Bible says here, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, speaking to one another and singing songs, just like those fellows last night. Have you noticed that's what happens when people get drunk? Oh, they start singing songs. And he says, get filled with the Spirit and start singing to one another. There's a freedom in the Holy Spirit that God is wanting to bring. That when there's worship, we don't care what people are thinking. We're just like, come on, join in, everybody. Let's sing together. And you speak to one another. This total stranger last night, it was the funniest thing, but so cute in a way. With these elderly Scottish gentlemen in their kilts coming to our table and say, talking to us. He's speaking to us. What is he? He's filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. May God fill us. We go out onto the streets and just tell people about Jesus and what God is doing in our lives. That's being filled with the Spirit. Wow. Intoxicated with him. Filled with him. May the rivers of God flow like never before. Holy Spirit atmosphere affects us, influences us. Notice how community is important. It's just so important, this gathering of the church, this gathering for prayer, this gathering for worship. I love what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, there was a gathering, a togetherness, speaking to one another, making melody in your heart. It says, when they had prayed. It's conferences like this. It is Sunday mornings. It is prayer times. When we get together, it's a place of outpouring and a place of the flowing of the Holy Spirit where he can fill us with his presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. To be drunk in the Spirit, you must be willing to have him influence your life. We must be willing. We must rid ourselves of any thought of, I don't want him because I don't want that. Because then you shut yourself off to everything. I want him. I want you, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to respond. Have you noticed how drunk people respond differently? Some sing, some shout, some dance. You say, well, I'm too scared to drink. I don't know what I'm going to do. You might even just jump on the table and start dancing. Who knows? I don't care about that. Just say, Holy Spirit, I want you to breathe upon me. I want you to fill me, Lord. If you want the wind of the Holy Spirit, lift up the sail of your heart. Do you know it's possible for the wind to blow and for a ship not to move? For a sail ship not to move? The only time it will move is when somebody pulls the sail up. For some reason, I find it easier to be in the Spirit. I don't know if there's a reason for it. I was in America. I was asked to preach to 10 pastors from another city. And we went out to a place called, I've forgotten the name, but beautiful, Montana. Montana, beautiful. It was like all of hell was against me that day. We took off the plane and the pilot came on and said, we have to turn back. So we turned back. We sit at the airport. Eventually we land at this place late at night. The pastor picks me up. We drive. We hit a deer. I saw it coming. He didn't see it. I saw it in the corner of my eye. This deer started running next to us. Da-da-da-da and jumped in the car. Yeah. I think I just broke the mic. All right. We hit this deer, killed the thing. We had to wait for the police. And I arrive at this house at midnight and didn't meet anybody. I just get there so late and they said, listen, this is the main room. This is for you. And so anyway, I'm in this room. Well, in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping on my side and I feel the bed go down like something sat on the bed. So I thought one of the guys, honestly, that's what I thought. I flung over, bam, flung over like this. And this voice from this demon shouted, was screaming in the spirit, divorce. So I was so shaken. I did not sleep the rest of the night. I was like a shaking little kid. I just felt a presence of evil, such evil. So in the morning, I have my first session. It's a house with 10 guys, 10 pastors. So I said, guys, I don't know what to do because God just spoke to me last night and one of you is about to get divorced. And so the guy that invited me starts crying. Tears start falling down his eyes. And he says, I thought it was him. So I finished my talk and I said, listen, this is what happened. God's just sent me here to tell you, do not get divorced. And he starts crying. So after the service, after the teaching, he calls me aside. He said, listen here, there's a guy here. He's just taken over a church. And his senior pastor, an elderly man, came to him and said to him, your number one job this weekend is make sure this man doesn't get divorced. He's about to leave his wife. So how does that happen? I don't know. I just know it's real. I just know that he's real. I just know there's a place in God. You have a spirit that is sensitive to God. You hear him by the Spirit. You have to lift the sail up in your heart. Pull it up. You catch the breeze. Some people find it easy to receive from the Spirit. Some don't. I don't know why. But I know that there's a way to, it's here. Just pull it up. Pull the sail up. And be willing to yield. It's a yieldedness. It's like a yieldedness to the Lord. Pull up the sail of your heart and say, it's a yieldedness. I think it starts with being willing to let go offense. Let go offense. Let go things with people. Let it go. Let anger go. Just be quiet in your spirit. I want you today to let your sail up. When it's fully raised, even the slightest breeze will affect you. But if it's down, you know, when there's a storm coming, do you know what they do? They put the sails down. What time are we supposed to end? 10:30, okay. Oh, I just sense His presence, church. I sense His presence. He loves you so much. There's revival coming. There's people here. You're going to run with God. You're going to run with the river. You're going to run with the anointing. Something's going to happen. I'm here just to stir a hunger. That's all I can do. I can't make it a forest. I'm here just to stir a hunger that He would reign in the wilderness. And to be honest, if we were honest with each other, you and me, we're honest with each other, the church around the world is in a wilderness. It's dry out there. We're sitting in our churches and we're wondering, where is the God of Abraham? That's what we're wondering. We're hungry. Just lift the sail. Lift the sail of your spirit. Be willing to be intoxicated. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. Wind is seen and heard. When we say come and see, we are saying come and see His influence. We don't need to know God is with us. We need His influence. Come and see. Come and see. Come and hear. Come and experience. Come and see. Do you remember when the four men brought the lame man to Jesus? They couldn't get in the house. So they let him down the roof. And at the end of it, they say, we have seen strange things today. May we see strange things. Oh Lord, we want to see strange things. I want to see the moving of God. I want to see the miracles of God. I want to see the influence of God on people. We've seen strange things today. May we see it with our eyes. That's why they thought they were drunk. Because they saw them and said, these guys must be drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. So I'll finish with this little story. A couple of weeks ago, I'm flying to Durban. So from Johannesburg to Durban, it's just an hour flight. And it's winter. Clear skies. It's clear skies forever. And it's an evening flight. I'm there for the Sunday morning, Saturday evening. Beautiful. The sun is going down. I can see forever. Not a cloud in the sky. I have a window seat and I'm just enjoying the view. Suddenly, our plane begins to shake. It's like, and the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, please put your seatbelts on, da, da, da. And this continued for a few minutes. And then he comes on afterwards and he says, apologize for the rough ride. And he says, this is the tail end. What did he call it? He called it the tail end of a jet stream. Never heard of it in my life. So I was just thinking about it and I went and looked it up. What is a jet stream? Well, a jet stream is a high altitude air current in the upper troposphere and can be winds of up to 200 miles per hour. So that means, so there was some kind of something happening way up there that was manifesting. My plane was manifesting because of something I couldn't see. And he says, was the tail end of this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, a wind was poured out from on high, higher than the troposphere, and it's still manifesting today. It's still manifesting today. It didn't end in the book of Acts. He's still manifesting today. He's still breathing today. He's still falling today. And if you would lift the sail of your heart, you would sense his breathing. Hallelujah. Shall we stand together just for a moment?